السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله with the fazal of Allah Park, we are continuing with this kitab, A Gift for the Muslim Bride by Maulana Muhammad Hanif Abdul Majid Sahib. And we now come to another subheading: Take good care of your husband's possessions. A wife should be particular about caring for her husband's possessions and keeping them in an orderly fashion. Yesterday we discussed with regards to budgeting, how to look after the husband's money, spending on what is important and necessary. Now we are talking about his belongings, his possessions, right? Maybe his work papers, his computer, his tablet, his itar, his shoes, whatever it may be. The room should always be neat. The bed should always be made and the bedding always clean. It is useless if the husband has to tell the wife to keep the house tidy, because things are more appreciated when they get done without a bidding. Things are more appreciated when a wife will do it on her own. If the husband has to keep telling the wife, clean, keep it neat, keep it tidy, then he feels like she's not doing it out of love. She's only doing it because I'm telling her to do it. She doesn't like to do it. She's only doing it because I'm telling her to do it. The wife should be even more particular about the tidiness of those things that her husband is fussy about. If he gives her something to put away, she should ensure that she keeps it safely. His clothes should be folded or hung neatly and not left strewn around. Now, sometimes, here again, a lady needs to realize that her first duty is to her husband, her children, her house. After taking care of those things, then whatever dini khidmat she can make, or whatever dunyavi permissible dunyavi activity she wants to engage herself in, then she should look towards those things. Right? For example, if she wants to attend some sewing class, she wants to attend some craft class, which is permissible, beneficial. So it's a good thing, there's no problem with that. But first she must check, am I managing to take care of my husband, my children, my house? Are things all taken care of here? Then do I have time to spare? Now if I have time to spare, now let me check. Okay, I've got some dini knowledge, I want to try and impart some dini education to somebody. Let me, you know, see if there are some ladies I can maybe sacrifice an hour or two a week. No problem, that's fine. Right? But especially in the early days of marriage, you see, many a times what happens is that a girl comes fresh out of madrasa. She's got all that zeal now to make khidmat of deen. Because she's young, she just came out of madrasa, she's got that zeal to make khidmat of deen. And at that time is also the time when she will most probably get married. Right? After she gets married, now that is the time in the life when the husband needs the most attention. And that is the time in her life when she will have her children. Right? And it's a whole new thing for her now. This whole marriage concept is a new thing. She needs to find her footing, etc., etc., etc. So, at that time in her life, if she cannot teach, if she cannot teach, she cannot take up like a permanent responsibility at a madrasa, at a girl's madrasa or a maktab or whatever, and she can't teach at that time, it is fine. No problem. Right? Worry about the other duties and responsibilities. Yes, if there are no children as yet, and the husband is working the entire day, in the morning she is getting her house sorted out, doing her cooking, whatever, and then the husband doesn't mind, and he himself tells her that, hey, you know what, they're looking for an apa in the maktab, or, you know, don't you think you should start some madrasa at home or something in the afternoons for a few hours? Then it is fine, no problem. But even after starting that, and then she feels after that, you know what, I'm beginning to now neglect my duties, or it's becoming a little too much for me, right? Or now there's two children involved, three children involved. Then she must resign, she must stop the madrasa, and she must worry about her duty to her husband, her children, her house. Later on in life, once the children are grown up, right, she is a little older, she can manage better, right? The husband also is gone older, he doesn't need so much of pampering and attention, right? Then she can always continue with her dini khidmat. The mistake that many people make is that we don't consider, ladies do not consider making khidmat of the husband, the children and the house as ibadat. We don't consider that as ibadat. We feel that no, only teaching in the madrasa is ibadat. Only doing some dini khidmat, going and giving some talks here and there, that is ibadat. No, the lady's primary ibadat is within her home. There are women who will be found beating the children when the husband steps into the house. Whereas, the man may be returning tired and frustrated, yearning for peace and quiet at home. He is confronted by wailing children and an irritated wife. The result, he cannot bear being at home and seeks an outlet in parks, clubs, restaurants and other company. And sometimes the lady also, she goes away like a basriya, right? One is the lady sometime, she is beating up the children and she is irritated and frustrated. Some ladies, they too engrossed in their BB contacts. Other ladies, they become so pious now that when the husband comes home also, they are so engrossed in the ibadat and everything that they got no time to talk to. Right? Then those type of men, right, what happens to them is they start looking for other company. They look for boys' nights out. They look for hobbies, etc. Right? Because they feel like, hey, I'm not a part of this family. When the husband is not at home, the wife can read whatever kitab she wants to read, do whatever she wants to do, make tahajjud, whatever, right? But when he comes home, first she must see whether he requires her attention, right? If not, maybe he's got some paperwork, he's got some other work, he's doing whatever, and she wants to catch up with some reading, no problem at all, continue. But first check, he came, ask him, can I get you something to eat? Like a cup of tea, put some oil on your hair, massage your shoulders. And not like, you know, in formality, you do it. You don't stand there by the door, excuse me, can I get you a cup of tea? You want tea? Okay, water? Can I massage your head? Can I press your shoulders? Okay, I asked you everything, you don't need anything, right? Okay, I'm carrying on with my books. Not like that now. No, no, slowly, casually. Then you must judge the situation. Now you see that, no. He's okay, he's got some work to do, he's not, he doesn't really need anything. Okay, now you take your kitab, you carry on reading, and let him carry on with his work. Right? So such a husband, you know, who comes home and always there's a problem, and there's no attention given to him, etc. He gradually begins to hate his family. And he actually begins to think that maybe I'm being punished for all my sins, my previous sins in my youth and my early adult life, etc., all my gunas. So this family is actually like a means of punishment for me. The incompetence of the wife therefore deprives the innocent children of their father's love and attention. Because now when the father is upset at home, then the children also suffer. Right? Now because of that woman, now the children are also suffering. A woman who is constantly screaming at the children and hitting them falls from her husband's eyes, and he will soon begin to admire women who are calmer, women who are more composed, they are more calm, they handle situations better. Nice, he will start noticing that in the other woman. Shaitan will make him look there. Picture this scene. The husband returns home tired. As he enters the door, his wife is chatting to her neighbor over the fence or talking to someone on the phone. Her dressing is shabby and her hair disheveled. The house is in a mess with flies buzzing about the dirty dishes scattered about the kitchen. Opening the refrigerator for some water, he finds it dirty with no water in the water bottle. Picking up a glass to take water from the tap, He finds it sticky and greasy. Such a man is justly warranted to weep over his situation. Who can blame him for looking for another wife? And then, you know, you get the other extreme. One is you get this extreme now, right? The woman is just not interested. She's got no hygiene in her, nothing. She's not even interested in herself, right? That's one extreme. Then you get the other extreme. You get some woman, they are so particular, right? So particular. Everything must be picture perfect, right? Her husband comes home, he goes sit on the couch. Hey, watch out, man, you're upsetting the cushions there. He goes, take a glass, we didn't leave those glasses, that's for visitors, take this one. Anything he wants to do, now he has to, you know, you must be like a statue in the house, where she wants everything picture perfect. Now that's another extreme now. You get some woman, they go on to that extreme. If he has to go to lie down on the bed, hey, you're upsetting the bed now. So is the house a picture or is it some place to be used? Now some ladies go on that extreme and they make the husband uncomfortable in that regard, right? Women should also refrain from making excuses for things they do not do and from lying, because this will reduce their husband's confidence in them. It should not be that their husbands stop believing even the truths that they say. Because she was sitting on a BB the whole time, now she never get time to cook, or she never get time to clean, or she herself, she never bath, she never comb her hair, because one week she's on the net, she's on the BB, Facebook, this contact, that contact, or she's watching the soaps on the TV. Now an husband comes home, hey, what happened, you didn't cook today? Now she can't tell him she was on the BB, because he warned her about this. Yeah, I don't know, man, the light stripped, right? Now picture this situation. Now what she's telling him? The light stripped. Okay. How it came back on? Was there a problem with the stove? No, I don't know. I think it tripped everywhere. There was power failure or something. Then it just came back again. Right, fine. Husband believes there, no problem. We'll order something or whatever. Fine. Now, Isha time is going for Isha with his neighbor. Hey, I don't know what's happening with the Sunduzi, why the power and all, power failure. Power failure? What are you talking about? Last time we had a power failure was one year ago. Now what's going in his mind? His wife lied to him. There was no power failure. Right? Now when he comes back home, now argument will start. Why are you lying to me about power failure? Now she's still too proud and arrogant to confess that I was speaking lies. I was frightened. I made an excuse. She'll carry on arguing the point. No, maybe only our house lights went. I don't know. Now all this is infuriating him even more. Right? Now we come to another subheading here. What a wife should do when her husband becomes angry. When a woman's husband becomes angry or annoyed with something, she should not reciprocate his anger. I mean, she also now mustn't get angry. She should rather hold his hand and apologize, even though the fault is not hers. Maybe the fault is not hers also, but apologize. You know, you see, say for example, a person who is a smoker comes in your house, right? One is, you know, I get very irritated with people who come smoke in the house because it leaves that smell. And hey, it's a very upsetting smell. But just for example's sake, right? Say somebody came in the house, smoker. Now he's smoking in your house, which he's not supposed to be doing to start off with. But he's smoking in your house. Now he's smoking away. After that, when he finishes, now he goes to, he doesn't worry about putting the cigarette butt off. He throws it on the carpet. Now that cigarette is still burning and he throws it on the carpet. Now that carpet starts catching a light. Now you see the smoke there. Right? Now you tell him, hey, put your cigarette off. And he's not prepared to put the cigarette off. So what must you do? You stand there and say, hey, you drop the cigarette there. You put it off. I'm not concerned about this cigarette. What will happen? That fire is going to get bigger and bigger. Your life is in danger. Your house will burn. What he is worried about. Right? So the intelligent thing to do will be, forget about who dropped the cigarette butt. Go and squinch it off. Go put water on it or go stamp it and put the fire off. After that, later on, you can address the situation. But for now, put the fire off. So that is what they are saying here. She should regard this apology and asking forgiveness as an honor, because gestures like this save marriages. And when she is saving her marriage, she mustn't look at her husband, but she must think, I'm saving the arsh of Allah Pak from shaking. I rather take the pain on my heart and ask for maafi, even though it's not my fault, but I will not tolerate the arsh of Allah Pak shaking. When the fault is hers, she would be foolish to become angry and to sit apart from him, because this will drive them further from each other. Now here they are saying, when the fault is not hers, still she must ask for maaf. So when the fault is hers, then even more importantly, she must go and ask for maafi. But a lot of times our pride gets the better of us, right? So she is, oh, if he can get angry, I too can get angry. If he want to show me attitude, I too can give attitude. Now where is that going to get us? When one's husband is angry, one should never say anything that will aggravate him further. If he says anything unpleasant, she should exercise sabr and not say anything in return. She should remain silent and ask for forgiveness. Once his anger has subsided, he himself will regret his behavior and realize that his wife's conduct was excellent. In this manner, he will not become angry so frequently. If the wife says something during his moment of anger, the situation may erupt and reach dramatic proportions. And worst case scenario, it can end in a talaq. Now they're giving us an incident here, the approach of a wise wife. A man by the name of Walid had to face a disciplinary hearing at work after being falsely accused of doing something. He was not even given the chance to defend himself. Right? They just told him, we're giving you your first warning, a disciplinary hearing. They didn't even ask him to explain himself, give his side of the story. When he returned home, he was obviously upset and irritated. Right, so now obviously he can't take out his anger there on his boss and on his peers. So when he comes home now, that's where he's going to show his anger, right? Despite his efforts to suppress his anger, he failed. And he burst into a rage merely because he could not find his socks where they usually were. So over a small thing, you see sometimes the toe is aching but we're scratching the head. Right, so same like that. He got a problem at work. Now he came home, now he couldn't take off there with his peers and all that. Now he comes home, right? Now over a small thing, he can't find his socks, now he bursts into a rage. But in reality, he doesn't mean to be angry with his family. It is this problem at the back of his mind that is frustrating him, right? So now anyway, he bursts into a rage now. His wife was an intelligent woman, and she immediately realized that her husband was not himself today. This day, he's not himself. He's not normally like this. So if he flew into a rage for not finding his socks, there's something else bothering him. It can't be this. She therefore did not interrogate him or rebuke him. Shouldn't come there now. What? You think I'm your maid? I must look after your socks and all that. Take another socks from the cupboard, man. What are you getting angry for? Shouldn't come and retaliate like that. She thought it inappropriate to discuss the matter until the couple has eaten and had time to themselves. She then gradually raised the subject and lovingly consoled him. As he spoke to her, the burden on his shoulders began to lighten and he felt much better. By the time he went to bed, he was completely at ease and felt pleased that his lifetime companion was so understanding and so comforting. This is the function of a wife. Take away the worries of the husband. Take away the pressures and the frustrations of the husband. Not add to his frustrations, add to his worries. Now he's got worries at work. This problem, that problem, this thing. Right, now he's coming home. Now he has to think, when I enter home, is she going to have a balloon face? Is she going to have a lemon face? Is she now going to be fussed up and pulled up? Now he has to worry about that also. So at his work now he got headaches. When he comes home also now he is worried about those headaches now. Now they explaining something else. When a husband strikes up an extramarital relationship, husband gets involved with another woman. He's married to his wife and he gets involved with another woman. I don't know whether they're explaining him getting involved or they're explaining never to accuse him of this. Whatever it is, let us read. A wife should never accuse her husband of having a relationship with another woman merely because of suspicion. Right? This is a terrible thing. If he is innocent of this, he will be deeply hurt by the accusation. If he's innocent, I mean, every day he's leaving home, he's making ifazat of his eyes, there's so much of opportunity there to commit guna and get involved with people, but he says, no, I got a wife at home, I must be trustworthy, etc., etc. And now he comes home and his wife is falsely accusing him of doing this type of a deed. So immediately he's going to be extremely upset. And if he is guilty of such a relationship, it will be useless for the wife to vent her anger on him or to make life difficult for him. Such behavior will sink the wedge between them even deeper and obliterate the last vestiges of feelings he may have for her. Right? Obviously, if he got involved with somebody else, either he has become blinded to his wife's love and beauty, or she has done certain things that has driven him. I'm not justifying his actions. It's totally incorrect to do something like this. But we are looking at the logical reasons. Right? Either he has become blinded to his wife's love and beauty, or she has been behaving in such a manner, he's been overlooking, and eventually now he's got frustrated and he's looking for solace elsewhere. Right? So now, if she is going to take the approach of arguing and fighting and insulting, right, that's only going to make the matter worse. In fact, it's going to make it easier for him to leave her, right, and go with the other woman. Right? To make one's husband abandon such relationships, if a husband ever got involved in an extramarital relationship, now to make the husband leave that relationship out and to win his complete attention, one should first stand up in salah during the late hours of the night and make sincere dua to Allah Ta'ala that one's husband should desist from such practices. The first person to turn to is Allah Rabbul Izzat. Right? The husband may be the husband, but he is an ummati. He is an ummati. And he has faulted, he has done something wrong which can take him to Jahannam. So the first thing is, we need his hidayat. We need his hidayat. We need to save him from this guna. How are we going to do it? Turn to Allah. Cry to Allah. Ask Allah to change his heart. At the same time, one should also tell him about the harms of such practices without offending him. Inshallah, he will soon mend his ways and become one's slave when Allah Ta'ala guides him. After that, when his mind opens up, he will become so loving and so loyal towards his wife that he will actually become like her slave. Right? If this approach does not bear the desired effect, one should exercise patience and consult pious and learned people. If you see that this is not helping, right? You see, first thing she should reflect, maybe I have neglected myself, I have neglected him, I have neglected my duties towards him, I have done certain things, I have behaved in a manner that has now driven him to look elsewhere. Right? I didn't keep him captured. I never kept his heart captured. Right? So now she must rectify those things. If she wasn't taking an interest in her dressing, start taking an interest. Right? If she has, she was neglecting him, start, paying attention to him. Remember, no matter who the husband has to get involved with. If you are married to the husband for 10 years, 15 years, you got a 10-year, 15-year head start. That woman stands no chance. Even if she's young, she's beautiful, whatever, you got a 10-year, 15-year head start. You know his likes, his dislikes. Right? Number one. Number two, you got his children by you. Number three, if society comes to find out of what he's doing, it's embarrassing. And now for him to go through a divorce, take the other woman, all that, it's too much of tension and pressure. So if the wife just sorts herself out, and she starts being loving, beautiful, put herself in shape, sort herself out, then automatically he's going to think to himself, hey, I was missing all these things, that's why I looked elsewhere. Now I've got these things at home, why must I look elsewhere? It's easier for him to end the haram relationship and continue with his wife, instead of ending the relationship with his wife and pursuing the haram relationship. But the mistake that most women make is as soon as the husband falters, as soon as he, you know, she caught him now, he chatted with one lady or some SMS came or something, what she does, she goes on a rampage, phones her mother, father, insults him, phones his brothers, sisters, tells everybody, disgraces him, causes a problem. So now he thinks to himself, yeah, I think I was justified. You can see how she carries on like a mad thing. That's why I even looked elsewhere. I don't think I want to spend the rest of my life with a mad woman like this. And then she gives him ultimatums. Right? You choose her or you choose me. One of the two. So then he makes his choice. And after he makes his choice, then she sits and cries. Right? One should never expose him to others and disgrace him. Neither should one impose on him to stop him, because this will make him more stubborn. This will make him more adamant. Right? When a wife makes life more difficult for her husband and disgraces him by exposing his faults to others, she will be deprived of even the little attention he used to pay to her. So what she must do is, show him more muhabbat, show him more affection. She knows what he likes to eat, she knows how he likes things. Do all those things for him. Right? And then nicely sit down with him. Look, this thing has come to my attention. Is it true? Right? What is it that I'm doing wrong? What is it that I can rectify? Don't do this to me. Talk nicely, in a sweet way, loving way, nice way. And then you give it a little bit of time. But if you see that, look, he is just not coming right, he is not listening, he doesn't want to make nikah to that woman also, he is living in zina, then consult some elders. If you've got a sheikh, consult your sheikh, right? There's an elder in the family who you know is level-headed. Sometimes to phone your mother and father is not the most intelligent thing, because they are emotionally involved in the whole thing. Right? They'll just tell you, what? He's doing that to my child. Pack your bags up and come home. I'm coming to fetch you now. That's not what we want. Right? So, you speak to somebody who's level-headed. Maybe you've got an elder uncle. You may be an adim. Right? Somebody who's level-headed, who'll know how to handle the situation. And don't go to young friends, because they will get other wrong ideas. Go to elder people whom you can trust, somebody who is your mahram or your sheikh or your ustad or somebody, go to them, get advice, see how to work things. They will call him in, they will have meetings, and inshallah the marriage will be mended and things will carry on as normal. And if it has to reach a breaking point where he is just not interested in whatever, then obviously that is out of your control, out of your hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save all the marriages. Allah pak, create muhabbat between husbands and wives, parents and children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq that we can fulfill one another's rights. And you know, every husband must be able to fulfill the wife's rights, every wife must be able to fulfill the husband's rights, and everybody must live a happy life in the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.